Future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future. Hey, where's my jet?
But then why? Why does he keep protecting us?
Maybe because Godzilla is inside each one of us.
Now for your No Fate Project report for December 2020. This is coming from the timeline formerly known as Z3, now redesignated K1 due to strange new developments. Turns out kaiju are real. Seven have emerged across seven continents. I'll summarize the news so far. The first kaiju to emerge was the Antarctic Protector, so named by the No Fate Project's new head, Dr. Cassandra Tate. The Protector is an intersex chimera, described by some as a koala fish mutant bird, a kind creature mixing animal features like Bing Bong from Inside Out.
Who's your friend who likes to play?
Bing Bong, Bing Bong.
His rocket makes you yell hooray. Bing Bong, Bing Bong.
What exactly are you supposed to be?
You know, it's unclear. I'm mostly cotton candy, but shape-wise, I'm part cat, part elephant, part dolphin.
Dolphin?
Their egg was discovered by scientists from the No Fate Project, Dyer Station, Antarctica, in June 2020, right next to the station. This was the largest egg ever discovered emerging due to ice thaw. Scientists can't go far in midwinter, but it practically advertised its presence. A CAT scan revealed the outline of the ancient creature, which was surprisingly dormant rather than dead. In mid-September, the same 24 hours that the zombie outbreak began, the creature stirred. At that point, we had no idea the Protector was benevolent, so the people were mostly pretty free. With the notable exception of Dr. Tate, who was oddly calm. The Protector finally emerged on October 5th, 2020, World Habitat Day. Turns out they have a healing eucalyptus blast that clears pollution and radiation and rapidly heals various ailments, including the zombie plague. Although the No Fate Project has released the cure for the zombie plague free of charge, the Protector's role in reversing the plague has been decisive. Our thanks and seasonal well wishes go out to the kind Chimera, if they're listening. After curing the infected at Dyer Station, the benevolent kaiju set off on a world tour. They restored New Zealand and the Pacific Islands, then moved on to North America. Their first major stop off was here in San Francisco, where I got to see them knock down a remaining colonizer monument. No idea if that's because they're a comrade or because they're a big clumsy kaiju. Either way, I cheered. After touring North America, the Protector entered the Atlantic Ocean, and they're currently on course for Europe. For the first 2 months, the Protector was the only real-life kaiju known, but throughout December, others have stirred, one for each continent. While the Protector is an ancient chimera, their origins shrouded in mystery, the remaining six kaiju appear to be sudden, recent mutations, evolutionary prototypes resembling existing indigenous species in all but size. Like the Antarctic Protector, Asia's kaiju appears to be benevolent. The Japanese Big Tanuki, a fantastically well-endowed native raccoon dog, the Big Tanuki emerged appropriately enough from Tanuki Lake near Mount Fuji before heading northeast. Citizens of Tokyo were disappointed when Big Tanuki bypassed them entirely, heading straight to Fukushima. Like the Protector, Big Tanuki has a healing blast, which he appears to charge through his impressive endowments. Tanuki set to work blasting away the radiation around Fukushima and NGOs report that biodiversity is rapidly returning to the area. Unfortunately, the benevolence of the Antarctic Protector and Big Tanuki does not appear to be shared by the remaining five kaiju. In short, we're faced with two protectors and five destroyers. Australasia's kaiju is the Megadramaeus, a giant emu from Australia's Great Western Woodlands. As an adaptation to the continued slaughter of emus, the species appears to have quickly evolved into a more aggressive form, indiscriminately tearing humans limb from limb. The Dramaeus does not kill humans for food, but rather for self-preservation, as her diet remains largely vegetarian. Fire seems to be the only thing that scares the beast, but as bushfire season sets in, that's a weapon which would cause more harm than good. The Dramaeus first claimed 200 lives in Perth and is now heading east, with most of Australia's major cities in the southeast of the country. Like the other kaiju, the Dramaeus appears attracted to population centers. The press have dubbed this conflict Emu War 2, and the humans appear to be losing again, second time around.
Yeah, for context, I tend to call the Emu War Australia's Vietnam, their great defining loss. In the 30s, the military attempted to clear out all emus, and the emus won. An imperialist military lost against a flightless bird. All of this has happened before, and all of this will happen again, and nobody has a plan.
Africa's kaiju has been dubbed the Aggregator, a giant dung beetle which emerged from the Western Sahara. The theory on the Aggregator's origins is that drought led to reduced amounts of dung, so the species grew in size to cover ground between food sources quickly and became omnivorous. We mean literally omnivorous here, eating everything from concrete to animals and people. Whereas his predecessors rolled around growing balls of dung, the Aggregator rolls around a giant ball of debris to eat later, which also serves as a weapon. After demolishing Layoun, the largest city in Western Sahara, the Aggregator headed east across the Sahara. Meanwhile, South America's kaiju is a giant macaw named Mito. Apparently awakened by the forest fires in the Brazilian Amazon, the parrot's vibrant blue, red, and orange feathers are matched by her blue, red, and orange fire breath. Fortunately, Mito has not encountered many population centers as yet, but she's currently heading northeast, apparently due for Brazil's capital city. North America also has an Ornith kaiju, a three-headed, six-winged bald eagle. Personally, I reckon we should have called it Ameriraptor, but the press has dubbed him Bird of Prey. A mutation emerging from Nevada's Yucca Mountain Nuclear Waste Repository. Bird of Prey boasts a nuclear radiation blast that causes rapid mutations, with humans mutating into rampaging zombie-like feral ghouls. Just as we're defeating one kind of zombie, another arises. I have Radex from the No Fate Project to hold off Rads. His poop is also radioactive, so the nuclear waste disposal issue is getting worse. The creature irradiated Las Vegas first, then elected to go west, crossing through California and reaching the Pacific Ocean this morning. I guess this is the start of his Rampage World Tour. With Trump dead in the crossfire, his far-right personality cult has taken up the Bird of Prey as their new god emperor. Unlike the Protector, he didn't hit San Francisco, thankfully. He passed down south around LA. As for the seventh and final kaiju, Europe is beset as usual by a British monstrosity, a red squirrel from London dubbed Hazel. With Britain's indigenous red squirrels threatened by gray squirrels introduced from America, Hazel emerged as a defensive mutation, first wiping out gray squirrels, then setting out to kill all humans. She has a dedicated following of legions of regular-sized squirrels, which, true to their nature, crack and eat nuts. This has earned them the collective title of Hazel and the Nutcrackers. Sounds like a band. Here's hoping they don't go on tour. Hazel's attack strategy is attacking but not destroying buildings, so the people flee and encounter her army of vicious nutcrackers on the street. Citizens are advised to stay where they are, not leave the buildings, and invest in steel sports cups. Hazel and the Nutcrackers continue to destroy London, and some pundits propose building a wall around London to protect the rest of Britain and Europe. The rest of Britain and Europe wholeheartedly agree. As yet, none of the kaiju have encountered each other, but genre fans await these confrontations with a mix of trepidation and elation. Fortunately, the zombie plague is under control, with the combination of a patent-free, no-charge cure and the Protector's eucalyptus breath. But now, humanity faces a new threat. All kaiju appear to be aiming for human population centers. With the Antarctic Protector and Tanuki restoring ravaged territory and the remaining five destroying it, environmental groups highlight that humanity is the common source of the various blights that led to these mutations. Religious groups also say the kaiju are here to punish us for our sins, albeit moral rather than ecological sins. We might have to be on guard for a rise of ecofascism as well. Then there are the kaiju truthers. Even here in San Francisco, what do they think was rampaging down Castro Street the other day? It wasn't a pride parade. All of the kaiju are resistant to conventional weapons and strengthened by nukes. So we're going to need a scientific solution. Scientists say the sudden emergence of these giant creatures on every continent is an example of convergent evolution, driven by changing environmental factors. However, the Antarctic Protector's origins have no scientific explanation as yet. As for your intrepid reporters, I'm stuck in San Francisco with the California border closed, and Ani is still on the base in Antarctica.
It kind of sucks that we're on different continents again, cut-blocked by geography.
We had a good run together. Don Levy remains hospitalized in San Francisco on the Pickman Foundation's dollar, so at least I'm here to keep an eye on him.
Yeah, we tried to investigate his old basement at the base, but he installed a lot of defenses, particularly some old robots that shock anyone who tries to interfere with them. Fortunately non-lethal at this stage, but we've decided to leave them be. The mysterious Mr. Morell from Miskatonic has sole access. Nobody trusted him anyway, but that's not helping.
Yeah, I meant to tell you about the taser Roombas. How's everyone else?
Better. Dr. Tate is running things now, and everyone but Morell knows her to Don Levy. Not that that's saying much. She's pretty good. I mean, she's really pushing that global protection society, though.
What's the deal with that?
Well, I don't really know. You join by pledging allegiance to the Antarctic Protector, but the rest is only known to members. That's like the first stage, and the rest you kind of have to join to find out. So it still seems a little weird to me, and Tanuki is clearly superior anyway.
Clearly. He has a superior pair of... That's all, folks. If you've enjoyed this episode, please contribute to our Patreon at patreon.com/jetpack1917, or give us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And happy holidays, continue the war on Christmas, and we'll see you in the future.
seen this incident based on sworn testimony. Can you prove that it didn't happen? We once laughed at the horseless carriage, the aeroplane, the telephone, the electric light, vitamins, radio, and even television. And now some of us laugh in outer space. God help us in the future.